Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic. And this is so exciting. This is our first ever in-person round of podcast interviews. So this is very exciting for all of us here on the team. So I want to just say thank you to all of our incredible podcast listeners, whether you started listening a few weeks ago, a few months ago, or if you've been listening right from the start. We are so excited to now be filming in person in our home studio in Miami. So, woohoo! So, without further ado, our guest for you today is Kate Northrup. She is a dear friend. She is an entrepreneur, best-selling author, and mother. She's built a multimedia digital platform called The Origin Company that reaches hundreds of thousands globally. She's committed to supporting ambitious women to light up the world without burning themselves out. Kate teaches data and soul-driven time and energy management practices that result in saving time, making more money, and experiencing less stress. She is the author of Money, a Love Story and Do Less, and the creator of the Do Less Planner system. Kate's work has been featured by The Today Show, Women's Health, Glamour, The New York Times, Harvard Business Review, and more. She lives with her husband and their daughters here in Miami. And in this conversation, we talk about the new paradigm of feminine leadership in business and entrepreneurship and in the working world. We talk about doing less to have more in our lives, both financially and otherwise. And we talk about egg wisdom and honoring the cycles of our bodies and so much more. So let's dive in. So Kate, it's your second time on the podcast. Welcome. And you are our first in-person guest.
Yay!
In the studio.
Here we are. It's
so beautiful.
This is a really
big deal. Thank you.
I'm so honored and thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
I couldn't imagine a more perfect first guest in our studio. And you also live here in Miami. We're both huge Miami lovers. Mm. And you've been so amazing at welcoming me here. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I love living here.
I'm so thrilled you're here. Such a gift.
Yeah, me too. Miami is like such an incredible place to be right now.
I had no idea. But now that I'm here, I'm just like, wow, thank you, goddess.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I want to chat to you today about egg wisdom and all of your incredible work in this world of like helping women transform their relationship with work, especially. Yes. This is something that I have been just so deep in recently. And as you know, I recently went through this huge surgery on my ovary. Yeah. You came around to see me when I was like barely standing up.
Oh, no.
She brought me breakfast. It was so sweet. And that was a big deal. And it was a big initiation. And it really meant a lot that you came and that you came to visit. And it's one of those things of like, wow, like it's so nice to have neighbors here. It's so nice to have friends in the same location.
We need that village. We really do. And like, so our world is set up not for it. And we have to be really intentional about showing up for folks, especially when we don't live close to family.
Exactly.
You know, you and I don't live close to family, so we have to be that for each other.
Yeah. So was there like a time in your life where you were not running your business in tune with your body?
Yes.
I'm sure there was. Like many of us, I'm sure that's probably just the way that the world tells us, like, this is what it is, right? But you also have the added stress and pressure and responsibility of having a family, having a husband, having kids, having a whole household to run, as well as a seven-figure business. So like, tell me, I want to know like the before, like paint me a picture of that before we go into the after.
So the before was I was chronically overscheduled. If I had blank space on my calendar, I actually had anxiety about it. Mm-hmm. And this was pre-kids. This was being married. And so my time really was my own. And I just stuffed it way too full. And I lived on the adrenaline of rushing. Like that was my fuel. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant with my first baby. And my body just said no. I mean, it was so clear. I've known about listening to my body my entire life. This is not new. Right. But when I was growing another human, the messages were so loud and completely unavoidable. Mm-hmm. So during that pregnancy, I was only able to work like a few hours a day, whereas before I could work literally whenever I wanted all the time. And I ran a company with my husband. So we just like our marriage was our work, you know, mm-hmm. like that was our life. And so the pregnancy changed things dramatically. Our bodies, as you know, are really here to be messengers mm-hmm. of truth. And I did listen. And so I slowed way down and I felt quite guilty about that. And I also was afraid that I would never want to work again. And I was afraid of like irrelevancy and being forgotten about and all the sort of like kind of gross thoughts that, you know, it's like embarrassing to say out loud, but they were very real.
What is that? It's like a fear of being irrelevant, or a fear of like, if I don't keep up, if I don't constantly be showing, and I think social media exacerbates that because big it's time. Like I'm on this treadmill of like needing to produce.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, like the masculine way, the patriarchal way, it's like it's all about production. The more you can produce, the more you can do, the more worthy you are, or the more at the forefront you are.
Exactly. And the algorithm, of course, replicates. I was just sharing this with you. I listened to a podcast episode with a woman named Jane Clapp, and she was talking about the way the algorithm replicates our collective unconscious. Mm-hmm. She's a Jungian. And I was just like, because...
Of course it does.
Because our work culture was created for production, right? It was, you know, there was a huge shift in the early 1900s from the agrarian economy to the industrial economy. And then more has shifted as we've moved into, you know, the technology economy. Mm-hmm. But all of that to say, like, I needed to slow down. My body said I had to. And the great thing about growing a human is that, like, that does really reorganize priorities.
Yeah.
Hopefully for me, it really did. And then when she was born, I had a very bumpy experience of birth and transition into motherhood. Mm-hmm. And that first year I worked, I don't know, I only had 10 hours of childcare a week. So I thought that was going to be enough to like run my company during 10 hours a week. But anyway, all that to say, it turned out what was so wild is that during that whole time, it was such an intense period of contraction in my life and mm-hmm. certainly from a business perspective. And I just had assumed my entire life, which we all sort of do, that if we stop being on the treadmill, if we stop doing all the things, everything will fall apart.
Yes.
So what was wild is I didn't have the bandwidth to worry about that because I had a sick baby and I wasn't sleeping and I was like losing mm-hmm. my mind. And so a year later, it turned out that we had made more money than we had ever made in our business. And I had worked less than I ever had before.
Let me get some clicks for that.
So that's what shifted. That's what shifted. But the before was working whenever, all the time, no structure, a lot of impulsivity. It's one of my life lessons is to overcome my impulsivity as an Enneagram 7. My life lesson is sobriety. with not so much with substances for me, but with other things. Okay. And so my baby taught me that. My baby taught me sobriety around time. And I got the results and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I need to figure out how to do this on purpose. Because if it could happen by accident, then certainly I could do it on purpose.
That's great. And, you know, this is a conversation that I hear so many women having that are in the entrepreneurship space, that are like growing businesses, that are like have like really big ambition and want to build these huge careers. And I hear all the time, and the first time I heard it, it came from me. And then I heard it reflected in my clients. And I was like, oh, yeah, we always attract into our space, like the clients are a reflection of us. But I remember like a couple of years ago thinking to myself, like I was in the push, you know, I was launching and I was pushing and I was like, had these goals that I wanted to hit. And I remember thinking to myself, I will go this hard until I get pregnant. And then as soon as I get pregnant, that'll be my perfect thing to go, now I can chill. Now I can slow down. Now I can like fully be in my feminine. And, you know, I had that thought, and the amount of times that I have heard that thought echoed back to me in other women is insane. So it's like we know that we can't keep going this way, but we're waiting for our bodies to finally go, haha, I'm going to make it happen now, because we don't trust ourselves, or we don't feel like we can do it without that as an excuse.
Wow.
Right? It's like we need our bodies to go, okay, now. Yeah. So what, like, how can we, because what the other thing that can happen is women have like a health crisis come up, right? Yes. And like, I've been really working on bringing these feminine principles into my business for a couple of years. But like, recently I have this surgery, this emergency surgery on my ovary, and then I'm like laid up in bed. So then this podcast shoot got rescheduled. There's been so many things this year where life has just been like, no, you cannot. Lie down, rest, chill. You're not doing anything. And I've pushed things back, and it's been so nice. It's been so like, I've not been like, oh no, I should really. No. Yeah. It's just been like, no, my body says no. Right now I need to focus on healing. Right now I need to just take care of my body and my health. And that's the most important thing. So what I want to ask for your advice on is for the women listening that like, they know they need to slow down, but they almost like feel like they can't force it for themselves. Mm. They're waiting for life to do it right. for them.
Okay, this is so great because this shows up in a lot of different forms. So many of my friends and clients are actually mothers. Mm-hmm. And so here's what I want to say. The illusion that after a certain point, then we can slow down is really a trap. Because what I hear,
it's a trap.
You and I have a little bit of a different client base. Mm-hmm. And I think mine are probably a little bit older and mm-hmm. at a slightly different stage of life. You know, that's a generalization. But so I just want to like shoot out from, you know, 8 to 10 years down the road. Here's what they're saying. I need to be a multimillionaire before mm-hmm. I get to rest. I need to write a best-selling book before I get to rest. I need to hit this rank or level in my company. I've never worked in corporate, so I don't know how to talk about it. But
so it's like this position. If I hit these masculine achievements.
Yes. So it's really interesting that it's like, okay, I have to get pregnant and then I can rest, or that my body will force me to. Exactly. So until then. So all wrapped up in this is this feeling of linearity, mm-hmm. being linear. Right?
Okay.
Okay.
That's the first time I've heard that word today.
I don't think it's a word. But like being linear thinking. Yeah. So
when I get this.
Linear then. Thinking is life is like this, or life is actually like this, where mm-hmm. we're sort of on this steady climb and that's the ideal, mm-hmm. right? Should always be a little more, always be a little better, or even hyperbolic, right? But it should always be going up and mm-hmm. it's linear. Actually, we are nature. Actually, we are animals. Yes. And so we are cyclical. We are on a round mm-hmm. planet doing circles mm-hmm. around an orbit, around a giant star, surrounded mm-hmm. by a moon that is doing circles surrounding our planet. And that's what time is.
Thank you for this reminder. Thank you for this reminder. Yeah. Yes, and nature is cyclical.
Seasons are cyclical. Our bodies are cyclical.
There we go.
And so thinking like, I'm just going to do this until is not mm-hmm. actually how we were designed. We were designed for this. And so seasons of pushing and going for it are amazing. Yeah. Amazing. There's nothing wrong with going full out and having your foot on the gas. However, when we live that way and we are always in spring and summer energy, young energy, and we don't bring in the autumn and winter energy where we put our foot on the brake, or we just take our foot off the gas, right? Mm-hmm. Then that's when oftentimes our bodies or our life circumstances have to create the autumn and winter for us, because we're not doing it on purpose. And so for me, that was totally the case.
Yeah. I needed to get knocked on my ass by pregnancy and motherhood, and it's perfect, and I'm grateful, you know? And for some people, that will also be the case. For some people, unfortunately, it's a diagnosis.
Yeah.
For some people, it's a huge loss, and I wish we weren't like that as humans, but I think we kind of are to some degree, though, you know, all of us will take like micro steps. And then sometimes it takes a bigger wake up call. And for those of us, sometimes it's bigger than others and it's okay.
Yeah. You know? What do you think happened with the pandemic? Because like, I think when everyone went into, well, I mean, that's a very multi-layered question. Well,
I'm going to answer the question you asked me.
When I say, what do you think happened with the pandemic? We're not going to get on any rabbit holes.
We're not.
However, what I mean is more from the stance of like, did it really make people slow down? Has it made people steady their pace and work less? Or do you think people just like bounced back straight into it?
Well, I think some people, it has made us reassess everything. And that's super beautiful. The number of people I know who made major moves or made major life changes, like get divorced or change careers. It's like, you know what? Wow, the world isn't as predictable as I thought. It's now or never, right? It also has been a beautiful grappling with death. And that's hard for our culture. We don't like to think about death, but that's what this time is. It's like, hi, this is happening all the time.
Yeah.
This is where we're all headed.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, let's live in awareness of that. Yeah. And so unfortunately, I will just say the data shows that people are working more than ever.
No, but, people.
But I also have to say, like, the data is like, who are they interviewing? You know, are they, who's the sample size? I mean, there's a lot of gradations. I don't think that we can, every time we look at data, I think we need to be looking at the, hello,
oh, Rio.
Hi, baby.
Rio, come down, honey.
We need to be looking at the layers of like, who was asked, you know, what's the source, all that stuff, right? But for folks who are in a more traditional corporate track, who then were working virtual, what we're finding is that they are working more than ever before. They are more burned out than ever before. However, there is the great, what is it called right now that's happening?
The great...
People are leaving the workforce and it's...
Oh, yeah. The great...
resignation?
Resignation. Yes, that is it. Okay. Yeah.
So there is the great resignation, which I think is such good news.
I think it's
that folks are like, F this, I'm not going to work this way anymore.
Yeah.
I have seen that there's more flexibility. I have seen that I could actually live where I want to live and not spend 2 hours in the car in traffic or on a train every day. Yeah. Like, I would like to reclaim my time. So I think it's really good news. Mm-hmm. And overall, more people than not, I hope, took some of the wake-up call to be like, I get to change my life now. I get to actually move my needle in the direction of what I want. So I think there's enough of us changing direction that way that it is making a shift. Because it's like, I don't know what the stats are, but something like 20% of people are leaving the workforce to do their own thing.
This makes me really happy.
You have to fact check that though, because I could be just spouting off a
random. We don't have fact checkers on this.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're listening, please search that. Okay.
Let's go back to this whole seasons thing. Yeah. Because this whole concept of seasons, and it's not a concept, it's like, this is who we are.
It's not a concept.
This is who we are, right? But it's like this realization and remembrance.
Yes. It's a remembrance.
It's a remembrance. Has changed the game for me in my work life, because I've been able, like, okay, so right now we're filming this and it's November.
Yes.
So a few years ago, I would have been like, okay, it's November. I've got like 2 months left to like, how can I like crush my goals? Like, what else can I cram in before the end of the year? And oh my gosh, I could not be further away from that right now. I'm like,
I'm so happy to hear that.
Time to wind down.
Yes.
It's a winter season. Like, even though Miami doesn't feel like winter, it's like, I feel like I'm going into like this, okay, like we just chill and we like go into like a little bit more like wind down. We're not booking things in, you know, we're not taking on new projects. We're not like push, final push of the year. And even if things are in the calendar, the energy around them is not that same like got to got to like push, this has got to be a certain thing. It's just like, we'll see what it is. And it's like, it feels like it's coming into a lot more acceptance.
Yes.
When we work with the seasons.
It is. It's coming into flow because when we align ourselves with what is, as opposed to fitting ourselves into a model that was invented by patriarchy to turn us into units of production.
Slaves. Let's just say it.
So when we actually work with who we are, as opposed to trying to be different, we just save a lot of time and energy. The amount of energy that we spend. So actually the Daily Mail in the UK estimates that women spend 7.5 hours a week making decisions on deliberation about choices. Seven and a half freaking hours a week. You don't have to check that one I know off the top of my head.
Oh my God.
So when we think about that, what's at the core of that? The core of that is not trusting ourselves, right? And trying and being like, there's something inherently missing here.
Yeah.
So I need to call my best friend, call my therapist, call my psychic. We don't trust ourselves. We don't trust who we are. We're not in acceptance and alignment of our true nature, which is nature. Our true nature is nature, right? And so when we begin to work in the way that you're describing, you know, that you've been bringing in more of this seasonal energy, noticing what your body needs or your body's telling you what it needs, you're just really like working with it. What's so cool is we move from time poverty to time abundance. And it shifts. So what I really love is that what you're describing is that it's not like you're shutting down your business, right? So many people hear like rest and they're like, oh, well, that means that Mel is not running her programs anymore and she's disappointing her clients and she's not doing things. No. Mm-mm. It's the way.
It's the energy.
In which you're doing it. It's your relationship to the items on your calendar. It's the relationship to time that has shifted. So it doesn't even necessarily need to look different than it was before. I will tell you, you know, now I'm 100 million times more organized and we have like systems and structures and SOPs and operations and all those things in my company compared to, you know, the before picture that we talked about earlier. But the things we're actually doing are fundamentally the same, but they feel wildly different and they take far less time and they're less energy sucking because of a different relationship to time. So when we begin to approach things seasonally and cyclically, number one, we get out of that feeling of pressure. So one of the things that I love to teach about is that time is cyclical. And when we think about the day, this is an insight my sister gave me, which blew my mind. I was actually in Costa Rica. She was like, what if we thought about the day as a circle as opposed to as a line? Wouldn't that be nourishing? Because as you get to the end of the day, you're actually coming back towards the beginning again.
Yeah.
So here we are at the end of the year. And you'll see those memes that are like, how are you going to crush your goals? Like, you know, leave it all on the dance floor or whatever those things are that people say.
Right? Like, leave it all like on push the dance it all, floor.
Push it. I mean, I do think I know what you mean. We can leave it all on the dance floor, but you know what I mean? Like push it all before the end of the year. That's time scarcity where it's like, I have to push it all in because this is all I get versus cyclical awareness is, wow, as I move towards the end of the year, I'm closer to the beginning of a new one. And so my cup is filling as we move towards the end of the year, as opposed to my cup is emptying. And that is a perspective choice that we can make. And that's why you're feeling relaxed.
I love that.
Because there's enough, because there's an entire new year ahead and this isn't the only one you have.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the biggest realizations for me was like, there's no race. Like, what is the rush? What is the race? Like, who am I racing for? Like, who am I like rushing for? Who am I in a rush for? No one. Like, there's nowhere that I need to be anytime soon in my life. Like this, and just accepting like, this is where I am. Like this year, like life threw me a couple of big curveballs. Yes. Like my whole life has changed this year. So there was a certain point where I was like, okay, this is just good. I just accept that I'm in a year of healing. I'm in a year of taking care of me. And what do you know? It's been the biggest year of my business. Of course it has, you know, but I just surrendered to like, this is a year of being in a healing season.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't need to, I'm not going to try and make it anything else than it is. Well, I'm not going to try and be somewhere that I'm not.
Right. Trying to be somewhere that we're not really wastes a lot of time and energy. And it creates friction in a world where, listen, life is already hard enough. We don't need to add extra hard things to it by trying to be where we're not. And also what happens is when you're trying to be where you're not, you miss the opportunity in the season you're in. So if you were trying to rush ahead and be like, let me just get well so I can get back to doing things the way I did them before, right? This whole idea of so we can go back to normal.
Yeah.
There is no going back, even though time is cyclical. We're not going backwards. Mm-mm. Like the cycle goes one direction. It doesn't go the other way.
No.
And so I love that you said that because you are reaping the gifts of the season as opposed to if you're in a season but you're trying to not be there, you miss out on the gifts of that season.
Exactly. And there's so many gifts in that winter season or in that healing season or in that autumn where you feel like you're just like starting to die and decay. Like, you know, I went on this retreat. I went on this retreat a few weeks ago and it was with Aubrey and it was with Aubrey Marcus and Anahata Ananda was there. And she sent us off into the desert for 2 hours and basically said, find a teacher in the desert. A flower, a rock, a stone, and like that. Sit and just learn from that teacher. And that is your assignment. And I was like, I love this assignment so much. Anyway, so I sat with this flower bush, this yellow flower bush, and I sat with it for 2 hours and I was like, this is profound. But the biggest thing that came through for me from that bush was like some of the flowers were like in full bloom and some of them were dead and some of them were like just about to bloom. And the lesson that I was getting was, it's okay if you're in a death season while others are in a bloom season. Like each one of us is going through these different seasons all at the same time. And we're all in these different seasons and it's so beautiful. And we all just create this beautiful flower bush together.
Yes. I love seeing it that way. And then the other layer that you can add on is that different parts of your life, if you were the bush.
Yes.
Different parts of your life are the different flowers also, right? Yeah. So our community is the bush, but also we are the bush. So for example, you know, I'm in a different season in my marriage than I'm in my business, than I am as a mother, than I am as a friend, you know, in a community builder. And so that's also really beautiful because what our culture, what the work culture teaches us is that we are only valuable. We are only doing it right if we are in spring and summer, either planning something and starting something or going for it and launching it, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the only right ways to be. Mm. And so we think there's something wrong if there's a letting go. Like ultimately, again, we're back to grappling with death. Like things end. That is the life cycle. Right. Yeah. My kindergartner's learning about the life cycle of a pumpkin right now in school. Oh, right.
So cute.
It's very sweet. But like, that's part of the deal. I talk to my kids. We've had a couple of losses this year. I talk to my kids about death. I talk to them about, you know, the cycles of life and where we come from, or at least where I think we come from, because it's so important to know that there is not anything wrong with something ending.
Yes.
Endings are part of nature. Endings are part of it. And so I just, you know, at the end of the day, like I'm about efficiency. We would save ourselves a lot of time and energy if we stopped resisting endings.
That is so true. And it's like we resist endings because in our mind, ending equals death.
Yeah. And it equals bad.
But like in some cultures, like death is like such a celebration of life. You know, it's a rebirth. It's like, wow, this is an incredible thing to celebrate.
Right. You because know? You were ultimately, I've been to two celebrations of life in the last 2 months and they are so sad and they are so ecstatic, you know, because it's just like when you think about all of the things that have transpired to come to an ending, it's all mixed in there. Birth and death. They're really like on the two sides of the same razor's edge.
Yeah.
They're so close. And you know, in both of my birth experiences, it was, you know, it was the closest of coming to death I've ever been. Not that I was, it wasn't like massively emergent, but well, one of them was, but the energy was like that energy of wow, you know, my friend Sarah Jenks, who I know will be a guest, also talks about being the divine slip and slide between heaven and earth. And our bodies, mm-hmm. whether we're giving physical birth or whether we're creating anything from a dinner party to, you know, a multi-million dollar empire, right? Mm-hmm. We are like the knife edge of creation is walking that line between birth and death and knowing that we are transmuters, we are alchemists of that energy.
Wow. I love that. I hope you are loving this episode so far. I just want to interrupt to let you know about my Queendom Mastermind. So calling all conscious female leaders, healers, entrepreneurs who are here to change the world. I'm talking to you right now, Queen. If you are an established coach, healer, influencer, or mentor who knows that you're here for something big, and I mean really big, but you maybe you're finding that things aren't quite flowing in your mission, your business, or your vision, and you want to expand. Maybe you find yourself really motivated on a Monday, but then you feel like you need to peel yourself off the floor with a spatula on Friday because you are so overworked. Or maybe the results that you're getting for your clients are amazing, but you need help in how do I reach more people? How do I expand my audience? How do I grow my impact? Maybe you have so many plates spinning right now in your business that your self-care is being neglected. How you're running your business is maybe not sustainable. I totally hear you, by the way, because this used to be me, and I ran my business like this for so long with so many questions, but constantly burning myself out. You know, I would fall asleep at my desk, I would put my self-care last, and that is just how I thought running a business was. It's how I thought that entrepreneurship was. So if you relate to this, please just take a breath. It's okay, because what I realized is that it was time for me to make a decision. It was time for me to go from just a burned out entrepreneur or a girl with a business to really stepping into my leadership, to really stepping into my divine feminine power as a leader in this new world. So really in the last few years, I've committed myself to not hustling, to not overworking, to doing things in a more feminine, in a more soulful, in a more nourishing way, so that I can effortlessly and intuitively lead my business and lead my clients. This is how I believe the new paradigm of coaching and business should be for women. This is you stepping into your queendom. So if listening to this sets your heart on fire, then I want to invite you to apply to join my mastermind, The Queendom, which is a 12-month journey for female change makers who are here to make a big impact in the world. This is a very intimate group. This is my smallest group of women that I meet with very often. It's very intimate, very supported. And inside The Queendom, you're going to have a sisterhood of women just like you. You're going to receive coaching by me for a whole year, monthly trainings and workshops on calling in your clients, how to launch your program, how to create the programs that your soul desires to birth into the world. You're going to learn about how to build and create your own podcast, how to build a membership. All of these things are trainings that I create for my Queendom members alongside getting coaching with me on strategy, on energy, on embodiment as well. You're also going to get epic guest sessions from some of the people in my life, mentors, peers in this industry who I love to bring in to help support. So joining the Queendom is not for everyone, but it's for you if you want to not only create transformational results in your business, but if you also deeply care about your health and your success as a woman. You know, really in the Queendom, we're doing inner work on ourselves so that we can step up and become better leaders for our clients, for our audience, for our community. So if this feels like a soul yes for you and you are ready to do business and leadership in an entirely new way, then I invite you to follow the link in the show notes and submit your application. Now, again, this is not for everyone. This is for you if you have a business, if you're already on your feet and you are ready to play big, you are ready for the next step, you are ready to scale up your impact and income in the world. I truly believe that you are here to change the world. And if you are running a business, if you are serving others, that is the perfect vehicle to help you do that. It really doesn't have to be hard or a slog. It can feel like a heart-centered mission and vision that you just cannot wait to show up for each day, Queen. So the Queendom 2022 is now enrolling. We start mid-January. So get your applications in and I really look forward to reading them. Okay. Back to the episode.
Going back to us talking about like being the bush. I've just got this image in my head of like, we are being the bush. And I want to transition us to talking about being the egg.
Great. Perfect.
Because we are the bush and we are also the egg.
Totally.
Do you like that transition?
I liked that. That was okay. A great segue.
So first of all, I want to just bring everyone's attention to this beautiful necklace that you so generously have gifted me. Tell us about what this necklace represents.
Mm. Yeah, so this is the Egg Wisdom Necklace. And the Egg Wisdom Necklace came about in a very egg wisdom-y way. So I'm going to tell you what egg wisdom is, and then I'll tell you the story of the necklace.
Okay.
So egg wisdom is a concept I learned about many years ago because my mom, Christian Northrup, is the person who taught me it. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't...
What a teacher to have.
Yeah.
About egg wisdom.
Yeah. Very grateful for what I know about the female body from being raised by a gynecologist. Yeah. So, yes. So every month, if you are a person who ovulates, you drop an egg. Right, your ovary releases an egg. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting about that egg is it sits. So the egg, of course, is available to be fertilized. She is available to her desire, and she puts out a very strong signal. But she actually sits. And that signal goes all the way down the fallopian tube and all the way down the uterus, all the way down to the cervix, and it lets the sperm know where she is. And that hormonal signal actually speeds up the rate at which the sperm swim towards the egg. So it tells them where she is, and it speeds their track. Now, once it, you know, I'm sure you've seen the video, right, in sex ed, mm-hmm. where it's like all those sperm swimming wildly, and then they like mm-hmm. start banging their heads against the side of the egg. And what it looks like is that the strongest sperm wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. What's actually happening is that the egg chooses.
I knew you were going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes, because that is an exact reflection of women, I believe, the masculine and feminine energetics in the dating space.
Yes.
The egg sits and she chooses.
And she chooses.
She doesn't chase.
She does not. She is not going down the fallopian tube. She is not running all over the uterus. She's not going down to the cervix being like, where is the sperm? Let me text the sperm 25 million times, even though he's not texting back. She is sitting and she is in trust.
Like, she's on her throne. She's in trust. She's
in trust. And she's putting out a very strong signal. So she's clear on her desire. And she lets it know where she is.
I love this. This is who we all need to be.
Who we are. Well, this is actually who we are. So what's so cool about this. We need to remember is no matter what your anatomy, no matter what your situation is, our bodies were all created this way. So it doesn't even mm-hmm. matter what your gender identity is. Egg wisdom is in you because it is how you were made. Mm. So the egg chooses which sperm. And when she lets in the sperm, or sperms in the case of multiples, she actually has the ability to repair its DNA. So we know that the feminine makes things better, right? Like this is a very like cliche way to say this, but like we add throw pillows, it's like we make it more beautiful. We improve things.
Yes, we do.
You know, statistically speaking, men who are married live longer. they do have a tendency to just be fluffed up and like improved upon in terms of their health and well-being and level of throw pillows.
I can hear so many women that are listening to this and they're going, see, 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 it's a good thing that I'm improving my husband all the time.
I mean, and it's not about changing somebody, but it's about like improving upon what, you know, the material that we have to work with. So that's the feminine principle. We naturally egg things on. Like that's just who we are. It's the tend and befriend, nurture energy. Yes. And then once the sperm is in there, the egg then travels down the fallopian tubes and takes several days to get down there and then embed in the uterine lining, where then the uterine lining becomes the source of nutrients. But in the meantime, the egg has enough nutrients to feed her and the sperm for that several day journey. So she sits, she trusts, she puts out a clear signal, she has excellent boundaries and only lets in what's right for her. Oh. She has the ability to improve upon her desires when they show up, and she brings snacks.
Oh, so that is, yes, egg wisdom. So this is the egg.
This is the egg.
And so we can ask. Paying attention to this. This is incredible.
It's very important because we can always ask ourselves when it comes to our desires and manifesting, am I being the egg right now or am I being the sperm? Mm. And which one would I prefer to be? Both are important, but we have a much more sperm-oriented culture, yes, and we could use more egg wisdom.
Absolutely. The egg identity reminds me of the archetype of the queen, right? It's this like sovereignty, boundaries, worthiness, yeah, doesn't exert herself, doesn't need to, and just... Mm. Allows in the right thing.
Receives. And I also want to say the other thing that happens, if it's a month that the egg is not to be fertilized, she simply is released out. Mm. And there's also that element of surrender. So not all eggs were meant for fertilization. Mm-hmm. That's also an important piece of the puzzle when we're talking about endings and death and letting go.
Beautiful. Well, I feel like a lot more tuned into my egg wisdom.
Sure.
Now, I had this incredible healing experience where I actually got to like hear the voices of my ovaries speaking to me, and it was wild. So maybe that's a conversation for another time, but just like it's been like a real awakening for me recently of just how little connection we really have to our womb spaces and like how much is there for us to like truly connect to, you know, like actually like tuning in and listening to like, what are my ovaries saying about this situation, about this person? What is my womb saying, you know? So, I think egg wisdom has such an incredible place when it comes to our business.
It really does. And, you know, certainly you can tune into egg wisdom and, you know, ramp up your manifesting visualizations when you're ovulating, mm-hmm, and certainly on the full moon. But again, this is how our bodies were made. So use egg wisdom all month long, anytime you want.
So what are some practical things that people can do if they are in that state of like, they're pushing, they're going towards burnout and they feel like, I can't get off this until Christmas or until... you know, I hit this $1 million mark or until I hit, you know, 10K months or until I move into this new apartment, whatever it is.
Always the carrot.
Yeah. There's always a carrot. Like, what are some practices that people can do like now in their work life that can really help them?
Okay. So number one, I always tell people, if you are somebody who has a period, track your cycle. Yes. So it's one of the most critical things you can do for your energy management, because what we think is, so many of us think that we have a time management problem, but really usually it's an energy management issue because we are not paying attention to the source of our energy, which is our physical bodies. And we're working as though we don't have a body. So tip number one is track your cycle and begin working as though you do have a body, because you do. And it's the greatest source of creative energy you'll ever have, you know? So, because I believe that our bodies are the tuning fork for, you know, divine creativity and source and inspiration. So track your cycle. If you don't have a cycle, or even if you do, begin to track what's going on with the moon and begin to notice with your menstrual cycle and or the lunar cycle, the ebbs and flows energetically throughout the month. Mm. It doesn't even mean you have to do anything about them. Just have it in your calendar to be like, oh, interesting. I'm bleeding. Cool. I am aware of that.
I am noticing. Thank you, body. Got it. Or, wow, it's a full moon. What do I feel like on a full moon? You don't have to change anything.
Yeah.
But just become aware. So I would do that for sure. Mm-hmm. When we begin to notice our bodies and notice our energy levels, sometimes we don't actually have to do anything else. Things begin to shift on their own because we're realigning with our true nature. Mm-hmm. And our true nature then allows us to be guided. You know, our intuition becomes stronger. We stop spending 7.5 hours every week making decisions. Mm-hmm. Opportunities get magnetized in ways that they wouldn't have if we weren't really coming into this deep central place, which really ups your magnetism. Mm-hmm. You know, when think about, I use the hose metaphor all the time. When we think about our energy and our focus, when we are all the time looking all over the place for like, oh, maybe I'll do a little of this. Maybe I'll do a little of that. Maybe I'll do a little of this. Maybe I'll call that psychic and call this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. That's the like fine mist setting on your hose. But if you really want to, and that, you know, that is nice, but it doesn't give you a lot of power, right? Yeah. But if you want to like move a pile of dirt off your patio, you need the power spray setting. You need to get all that water and put it in a more focused container. So same amount of water, coming out fewer holes.
I like that.
It gives you power. So same thing, coming back into our inner channel, our central channel of alignment around our cyclical nature gives us power that we don't have access to if all of our little energetic tentacles are always out everywhere else.
Mm.
So that's number one. And then number two, really working on our nervous system. So mm-hmm. we can work on our nervous system in so many different ways, but what's so mm-hmm. important to know is that the way we work in our culture is very much a sympathetic nervous system response.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And there's a hypervigilance that happens. And this feeling of, if I don't keep doing, if I don't keep producing, I will become irrelevant / I will die.
Yeah.
Right. That's ultimately what's happening yes. in our,
I will not be loved.
I will not be loved. And then I will not exist. Oh. Right. Because our nervous yes. system is always our unconscious. Our nervous system is always trying to keep us alive. It's doing a beautiful job mm-hmm. trying to keep us safe. And what we think is, what we unconsciously think is, if I don't keep working in this way, if I'm not perfect, if I don't keep showing up, if I don't get all my things done, then on some level I am unsafe. And so I am actually doing this for my survival. But when we begin to learn to signal our nervous system that we are safe, then we can actually work from a place of wholeness and safety mm-hmm. as opposed to as a sympathetic nervous system response. And so simple things you can do. I really like the tool of just breathing into my lower back ribs. So mm-hmm. easy. We could do it right now. You know, if you're listening, just like. How was that for you?
Nice.
I like that. It's nice, right? Very it nice. Instantly is like, oh yeah. Like it, I don't know, for me, it just, it's like a little energetic elevator of like, oh yeah, okay, like mm-hmm. we're good. You can feel your feet on the floor. I love the tool of shaking. So if I'm really angry or I'm worried, I just shake for like 2 minutes, my whole body, just shake everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a tool that we can learn from animals, right? Like if you're getting chased by a lion and you're an antelope, you get away, you don't need to go to therapy for 20 years to talk about that one time the lion chased you and you got away. The antelope just shakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's out of the system. So shaking, lower back rib breathing. I mean, there's literally millions of nervous system healing tools, but those are two of my favorites.
I love that. Yeah. I've also found that like decreasing stimulants such as like, you know, caffeine, like really lowering that or even getting off
yes.
is like just monumental.
Monumental. I've also gotten off coffee this year.
Yeah.
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 Sad,
it's been an
true.
on-off thing for me. Like, I love it so much. And then too. I'm like, time to quit. And then I'm like, damn it.
I know.
But it does make the world of difference.
It does, because you are allowing your adrenals to mm-hmm. be in a state of rest as opposed to starting off your day in panic.
In stress. In like constant, like low-level stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And something else that's like really on my mind that I want to just touch on is for the woman that's listening that's like feels like she's just got so many things that she's already committed to.
Yeah.
And things that she's said yes to. So I think a part of this conversation as well is how hard women find it to say no. Mm-hmm. And to, because we don't want to look like a bitch. We don't want to look like, we don't want to upset anyone.
Yeah.
But like saying no is so necessary.
Yeah.
And I've personally found that the more I go down this journey of putting body before business and growing the business at the same time, the more that no is has to be the default, really. And it's like, yes is like very few times that a yes gets through because of like what you said, like energy management is so important that the amount of things that you have to say no to, your boundaries have to get bigger.
They do. So I love the way you described your experience with this because what you said is body first. Mm-hmm. So the more you've put your body first, the more able you've been to determine what's a yes and what's a no, and the more able you've been to say no. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound like it's super stressful for you.
No.
Right. So what's so important to know about that is that that's also your nervous system. So many of us are operating in this fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. The fawn response is, let me like do everything to make you happy so that I won't die. I mean, that's really what's going on there. And so if you're somebody who has trouble saying no, it is likely because you're in a fawn response. So the answer is not go out for 30 days. So much of the coaching world is like, just bust through your barriers, right? Which is very re-traumatizing. Mm. So if you come from a background where you've had traumatic experiences, where you couldn't say no, where you were harmed for saying no, that is real and your body remembers. And so just doing it anyway, just like that feel the fear and do it anyway, is just so, can be so harmful to our systems. And so instead we want to look at what's the next doable step. What's the doable thing we could do?
Yeah.
And so we can do that by first building in, you know, a breathwork practice every day, a meditation practice. And I, listen, if you saw my daily practices, we're talking like 5 minutes or less. So if you cannot tell me you don't have time for this, I have two little kids and a company and employees, and like you have time for 5 minutes a day. So whatever it is that's going to bring your nervous system into alignment, what you'll find is that you then don't have to work so hard to say no. You don't have to like overcome. You just will be in a place where your body begins to feel safer and safer every day. And then you will automatically be able to determine what's a yes and what's a no. And you won't feel so scared to say no because it's no longer in your unconscious a survival strategy, saying yes. So when saying yes is a survival strategy, of course you're always going to say yes, but doing that internal work to shift it so it's no longer that way then allows you to show up and just be like, oh, that's not a good use of my time. And you know, the person's response about that has nothing to do with me. So I'll just be over here doing my work.
Amazing. Yeah. As you're sharing that, I'm thinking like what you're really saying is you're allowing the body to speak rather than being in the mind of like, I should say yes, or what is the right answer, or what are my responsibilities and expectations and pressures of me. When we drop into the body and the more we allow ourselves to do that every day through these practices, then the more we can get the answer from the body.
Yes.
And that's when, like, you know, when your intuition speaks, it's straight away. But because we spend so little time in the body, most of us, you know, what as a society conditions us to be in the head all the time. So we're not getting that answer from the body because we're not tuned in.
We're not to tuned listen in. To her. No, and we're too busy. There's so much noise with our devices and with our, you know, all the things going on that we don't even have the space to hear the messages that might be coming through, but we haven't turned down the volume on everything else enough. So that's why some it doesn't even have to be a stillness practice, but it could be taking a walk and just not bringing your phone. And it could be 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So speaking of practices, let's take a look at this beautiful planner. You have so generously gifted me this planner, which I have been seeing on your Instagram for a while. And thank you so much. It looks incredible. I know just how much love and creativity and energy and time you've poured into this. So tell us about the Do Less planner.
Yeah.
What inspired it? And I mean, there's so much in here that I can already see is like different than any other planner that I've ever had.
It's not what you'd expect. So just to be clear, it's not a calendar.
So I still use my Google Calendar to book appointments.
Yeah.
Okay. This tool is what I created based on the experience of going through profound postpartum anxiety and insomnia. And I spoke about my mental health issues after I had my first baby, and I felt like I was adrift at sea for 13 months. And then my period came back 13 months after I gave birth. And for the first time, I was excited about that. And for the first time in my life, I started tracking it and actually paying attention. Because to me, it signaled this return of my body to myself. I was no longer a vessel primarily for the birth and sustenance of another human. Mm-hmm. I was actually having, it signaled to me that my body had a little extra for me. I was still nursing, but like, you know, it had that energy to bring my period back. And so I started tracking it, and I had this daily evening ritual, which was, again, 3 minutes. Our daughter still doesn't sleep through the night. So like we're, you know, so it's not like,
yeah.
I just want everybody to know, like, you don't have to have a lot of time. So it took 3 minutes, and I had a little journal, and I would write down what day of my cycle am I on? What phase of my cycle am I in? So am I in menstrual, follicular, ovulation, or luteal? And those phases align perfectly with the seasons. So mm-hmm. menstrual is winter, follicular is spring, ovulation is summer, luteal is autumn. So I would write that down, and then I would write down what phase the moon was in. And then I would just jot down a sentence or two about how I felt that day. Mm. You know, I was exhausted. I was energized. I felt super sexy. I, you know, got a lot done. I was spaced out. I felt like making a bunch of phone calls, whatever. Mm. And so that daily practice, I swear it saved me. I started to feel so calm. I started to be able to sleep again. I felt like it was this life raft that had been thrown out to me. And it turned out it was my body. Like, it had been this thing that was so predictable all along, and I could have used it as this deep connection friend, but I just had never bothered to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And so that daily practice turned into the daily energy tracker, which is part of the Do Less Planner. Yes. And then also there's the weekly spread where you give the universe a to-do list every week.
I was just about to ask that, like, tell me, like, there's my to-do list and then there's the universe's to-do list.
Yes.
Obsessed with this. So, like, what goes on the universe's to-do list?
Well, so this idea came from Abraham Hicks in their book, Ask and It Is Given.
Mm-hmm. Love that book.
Uh-huh. It's a good one. It's a good one. So the universe's to-do list, I make the universe's to-do list every week before my own to-do list. And so this really helps for those of us who are hyper responsible, who are people who are like, if it needs to get done, I have to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's that weekly practice of turning it over. I'm just like, okay. So for example, many years ago, I put on the universe's to-do list, find childcare for Penelope on Thursdays, because there was a situation we needed new childcare. Put it on the universe's to-do list. I swear to you, 24 hours later, I'm dropping her off at daycare. And the daycare director is like, hey, I heard you needed childcare on Thursdays. My schedule has shifted. I would love to take care of Penelope on Thursdays. And I was like, meanwhile, I literally told nobody. I had not told anybody. And it just was handled. So many of the things that anything that you feel overwhelmed by or you feel like is going to take you a lot of time and energy and you have resistance around, put it on the universe's to-do list and just see what kind of magic transpires. And then your to-do list, I always make a weekly to-do list, not a daily to-do list, because that relieves a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And again, the way we work matters. And when we relate to our work with less pressure, mm-hmm. there's more flow. We get things done faster. There's less resistance. Opportunities flow. It's just more like, let me just give more space. Let me give more buffer. Let me have a weekly to-do list. So these things need to happen this week as opposed to these things need to happen today. And like my kid is homesick and la 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 la. And like my furnace blew up and you know, no. Mm-hmm. That just gives us space for life, you know, when you end up in emergency surgery or whatever, just gives you more buffer. So those are some of the elements. Beautiful. There's, of course, more. There are moon pages for your new moon rituals and your full moon rituals. There's a place to track egg wisdom and what you're manifesting and attracting. Mm. There's a seasonal section for your quarterly planning and your quarterly review. So perfect. It's really just this beautiful tool to help you come back to your body and the cosmos.
Well, it is gorgeous. We're going to put the link for people to buy this in the show notes as well. So one thing that I want to ask you, Kate, like, is there I'm sure I know the answer to this already, but like with just like all of these incredible practices that you have and this new way of doing things, like, do you feel that you ever kind of go back into like, or gets taken back into like the overwhelm, the stress, and what are some of the things that you do to just kind of bring yourself back?
I love that question. I absolutely go back.
I knew you would say that. I was like, of course you do.
Of course I do. Of course I do. Because, you know, we're swimming in that water.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And I have chosen to run my own business. So there is an added level of stress and pressure. I mean, there just is, you know. I have team members who rely on the company to feed their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's real. Mm-hmm. And so I don't take any of that for granted. And I take it very seriously. And it's such an honor and a privilege to be able to, you know, create opportunity. And I can swing on the spectrum towards feeling pressure around it. Mm-hmm. And so what I do when I feel that way is I go lie on the ground. That is why I live in a house instead of an apartment, because when I lived in an apartment, I couldn't feel the ground. And I just am one of those people who I just have to feel it. So I go and I lay on my front yard and the neighbors think I'm a very kooky person. And I look at the sky and I just feel Mother Earth holding me. Ugh. And I let all of the stress go into the earth to be composted and turned into fertilizer for new growth. And I have never had that not help me feel better.
That is so beautiful. Yes, we are supported.
We are supported all the time. Gravity is working with us all the time. We are just here. We are held. Mm. And, you know, my deep core wound is not feeling supported. And so I just go back to like, what's the infinite support? What's the spot that can give beyond? Like, I'll never feel like I'm asking too much. And it's always it's always just laying on the earth for me.
Beautiful. Kate, this has been such a pleasure. I have one final question for you. What is something in your life currently, like right now, that you're learning?
I am learning how to continue to freaking learn this lesson. How to be more present with my kids, how to be a more present mother, especially around their discomfort. So how to be able to sit with and have more space for uncomfortable feelings.
Mm, wow. It's beautiful.
It's so hard.
Hard and beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Kate. Thank you for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
So, my loves, if you enjoyed that episode, please do share it on the gram. Let me know, let Kate know, drop us a DM and tag us. And if you absolutely love this podcast, we would so appreciate your support. Leave us a review, share it with your friends, and we can increase this beautiful community. So thank you again. And until next time, I hope your life is filled with love, sex, and magic.